during the budget process, the presentations are about, that we're providing, I think it's the 28th of March. It's about 3 weeks in advance of what we've ever traditionally done. So there's time to kind of work through these items. But I thought best time-wise to hear the presentations of the directors and staff before we start looking at service reductions. Hear them out, and then we can talk about those issues after.
Okay, I don't have any objection then. Thank you.
Okay, objections are all taken care of, so that'll solve that. Let's see, I guess Pledge of Allegiance. Ms. Snyder, could you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please? Okay, thank you very much. Ms. Snyder, we appreciate that. Audience participation, we have a sign-up list. Eugene Haberman.
My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I represent myself, follow the public process. Public process is an appropriate decision made by the governing body. It's more like in the public interest. My comments are in reference to what's on the agenda today, and that is on executive session, union negotiation preparation. I did some research and did some what we call compare what other people do, and that is this. You're going to negotiations. When the city of Wasilla recently dealt with union negotiations, they have by code a situation in which they require to hold a public hearing prior to going into negotiation, showing the old contract. After that public hearing, then they go into negotiations. And then after coming out of negotiations, then they hold another public hearing on that contract. I do not see any evidence you're doing anything like that. And as far as I'm concerned, when you're talking about a state budget crisis, which we are in, and it's only getting worse, one would think that the significant cost of government is dealing with the cost of personnel. And if this is the way you're handling it with the people, this is out of line. Now, I'm giving you notice on this situation, so you have not gone into negotiations, as far as I understand. Also note, what have you done in the past? I'm understanding from the borough manager prior to this meeting that you rolled over and you had a contract that basically did no changes, and it's like for four or five years, whatever. There was no knowledge of how long, but you rolled it over, and there was no recollection if you ever had a public hearing or not on that old contract. You might have, but there's no knowledge of it. And that should come out now, too. What have you been doing on the previous contract? Did you ever hold a public hearing? Did you ever hold a public hearing showing a like I've said, what the city of Wasilla does? And I applaud the city of Wasilla doing a more appropriate, transparent way of connecting with the people. And I note this in my words. The public process is done appropriately, and the decision made by the governing body is more like in the public interest. With 41 seconds to spare. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's all on our sign-up list for audience participation. Anyone else in the audience wish to speak to the assembly? Seeing none, we'll close audience participation and move on to our
Mr.
agenda
Mayor.
Items. And we'll go to Assemblymember Sykes.
Just as a point of a clarification, I believe that our contract is public information, is it not? And we vote on if we have a contract renewal or change or anything like that. I do believe the assembly does vote on that. Is that correct? Okay. So I just wanted to ask the manager if we were doing anything unusual.
Are we doing anything unusual, Mr. Moosey?
We've been doing everything standard.
Okay. We're on items of business. We're going to start with B. Foreclosure process, Mr. Moosey.
I have Candy Graham and Lisa Gray. We thought it was very important to review our foreclosure process. As you know, the majority of our revenue comes from property taxpayers. When they don't pay after numerous years, we have foreclosure process, and we thought it'd be very important for you and the public to kind of get a review of what our process is. We think it's consistent, we think it's very fair and gives many opportunities, but we wanted you to understand the process and where from. So Thank you, ladies.
Hi, my name's Candy Graham. I've worked for the borough for 12 years doing the foreclosure work. I started at the municipality of Anchorage and went to the city of Wasilla for several years, and I was their sales tax specialist. When the position opened here, I was pretty excited because I knew that was something that I want to do. And after all these years, I still enjoy it. People are, this year, I was just telling Lisa that people this year are a little bit more trying, a little bit more rude, for lack of a better thing to say. Anyway, the foreclosure process, we follow a state statute to a T. There are really no borough ordinances or rules that we follow. We do have some business practices that we follow that are off the statute. Anyway, you see my packet there. You can see that the statute's there, and it explains exactly step by step what we do. We start a new foreclosure every January. There's usually around 1,800 to 2,000 properties that go into the foreclosure, and by the time we're putting a lien on the property, we're generally down to 900 to 700 properties that we're putting a lien on. Once you put a lien on a property, the state statute gives everybody 1 year to pay. So this year, we started the 2015 tax, and before we start the clerk's deed part of the process, it won't be until September of 2018, so these people have a very long time to pay their taxes. During that time, the first thing we do is send out a courtesy letter letting them know that if you don't pay by a certain time, your name's going to be in the newspaper, you're going to be in the court documents, and that usually gets half the people off your foreclosure roll right away, is letting them know that, because people don't really want to be in that newspaper article. We just had a deadline last Friday for that deadline, to keep your name out of the paper. And so right now what I'm working on is putting the newspaper ad together. It's a lot of work. You're writing legal descriptions and making sure that everybody's name is right. You know, you might see someone's name is spelled incorrectly, and so you got to do some research and make sure that the name is just like it was on the deed, and because everybody makes mistakes. So anyway, so you get those kind of things corrected, and you move forward. Right now I have three processes going. Generally, there's only two going because you have your first year and then you have your second year going of a foreclosure. But last year we had an objector who held the process up in court for about a year and a half. So this year I have three foreclosures going at the same time. So you got to be really careful when you're talking to people. You'll be halfway through a conversation and you'll realize, oh my gosh, I'm talking about the wrong foreclosure. Luckily, that doesn't happen very often, but it can happen. Anyway, right now the foreclosure that started in January was almost 1,700 properties. And just before I came in here, I looked and it's down to 937. So it's going good.
Could I interrupt? How many total properties?
How many total properties are in foreclosure right now?
Oh, not total, including ones not in foreclosure.
Oh, 77,263, something like that. Yeah. So, yeah, at any given year, we have an average of 2.25% of those properties going into foreclosure. And at the very end, we only take about 4% of that 2.25. So by the time it gets to the end of the foreclosure, last year was kind of high with 90 properties, but we've had them down to as low as 20 properties, 42 properties that you actually take. And a lot of times those are remote properties and the people are gone and their family may live in Alabama or somewhere and they don't. We're never coming to Alaska, you can have it. We hear that a lot. So the only way to get out of foreclosure is by paying the taxes, by filing bankruptcy, or if you have contaminated property, the borough code does not allow us to take contaminated properties because we'd have to clean them up, and that's pretty expensive. Right now, we have 70, what is it? 77 properties that are in bankruptcy, which is fairly low. In the past years, we've had around 150 to 180, but the last few years, bankruptcies have actually gone down. So 2 years ago, we had 94 at the end of the year. Last year, we had 86, and so today, we're down to 77 properties in bankruptcy. So that's actually really good. I see a lot more property in Anchorage going into bankruptcy than, you know, the percent-wise than we do here. So I personally, what I see is that I think people are doing better out here in the Valley than a lot of other places. Fairbanks has a really big bankruptcy problem right now. A lot of people there going into it. Anyway, do you guys have any questions about foreclosure work? Yes?
Yes, through the chair. So tell me a little more about the contaminated property. So if I spill a 50-gallon drum of oil on the property, and then you're not going to foreclose on it or take it?
Well, we look at the DEC website for that information. And so if your neighbor sees you turning over barrels of oil on your property and they turn you in, and the DEC comes out and checks it out and they say this property is contaminated, that's where the contamination would come in. We have an old gas station in the Butte area that people are calling me on probably six times a year. Someone will call and say they want to buy that property and they owe taxes back for eons. And but supposedly there's a possibility of that property being contaminated from the old gas station. And so
we have in my area a couple of problematic illegal dumps, this type of thing. So those folks need a DEC declaration that their property is contaminated, and then they don't have to pay their taxes until ever. Is that a correct assessment?
Well, we would look to see if there was a DEC contamination. We check all the properties. I check all the properties against the DEC list. But also, there are some properties out there that is just basically hearsay that they're contaminated, but the borough can't run the risk of having to clean up something, the possibility of cleaning something up, and so we stay away from those. There's not a lot of them. There's the gas station in the Butte. There's this guy right here before you cross over the bridge going out to the Butte. And his was in that situation before I came along, so I really don't know everything about that property. There's a couple properties where there are cemeteries on them that we stay away from. And every year I have a couple people call me and say that they buried their parents on their property, and am I going to still take it? And so I have to, you know, have someone check that out. And anyway.
Thank you.
For the record, Assembly Member Doty arrived at 4:10 p.m. Assembly Member Sykes, go ahead, please.
I'd just like to follow up briefly on Assembly Member Kowalki's question is, if someone was just willfully contaminating their property so they didn't have to pay the taxes, they could clean it up. Is that not true? I mean, years ago, people who had oil tanks were forced to clean them up if they found contaminated soil.
I believe the DEC does make them, or try to make them, clean it up, because I see on the list where they where it'll state that they've been cleaned up.
Okay.
You know, there'll be some old properties on there, and now they're cleaned up.
And I do have another question, Mr. Mayor. You may not deal with this in the foreclosure division, but you said that the only way to get out of a foreclosure is to pay the tax. I am aware that we have a provision of code where if you can't pay your taxes, you can apply to not pay them. And does that have to be done before you get into foreclosure? Is that the deal?
I've never dealt with that situation.
You have an idea, Mr. Attorney?
You're talking about the hardship exemption? Yes, you'd have to apply for that before you get into the foreclosure. The state laws regarding foreclosure, as she said at the beginning of the presentation, we follow the state law process, and they're very, very strict, very tightly controlled on what type of wiggle room you have, and you can't really compromise tax debt. And so anybody who was having I think it's the hardship and then extreme hardship in the code there in Title III. You'd have to apply for that before the tax bill. So you'd have to do it in April.
Okay, any other questions? And so on the taxes, it would be the lien, which would be the taxes, plus interest, plus cost, plus which adds up.
Yes, it does. And all the costs of a foreclosure are the people that are in foreclosure, we put those costs onto their accounts. And so eventually, whether the land is sold at a land sale later on, or if they pay their taxes out of foreclosure, that's how we recoup all of the foreclosure costs.
Are you allowed to negotiate a lesser amount?
No, I'm not. As far
as redemption?
I do not.
It's always going to be the exact amount calculated.
So okay. You've got your 15% penalty, your 5.1% or 2% interest on the taxes, and then even the cost of my benefits mm-hmm. and my pay is actually broke down and put onto the foreclosure as well. So
it adds up quick then.
It does add up. Usually by the time I take properties in clerk's deed, the costs are around $1,000 for the 2 years per property. Because as you pay out, if you have, let's say you paid out today and tomorrow I put a $500 fee onto the accounts, well, you just won $500 because you paid the day before the fee went on. And so your $500 gets broke against everybody else who's still in the process. So.
Anything else from any of seven members? Mr. Moosey?
No.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
You're welcome.
It. I was looking through the Mr. Mayfield, Senator Mayfield's looking in there to see if it's, did you make the papers?
Look for my name.
Okay, Mr. Moosey, go ahead.
Hi, my name's Lisa Gray, and I'm the Land Disposal and Foreclosure Specialist in the Land Management Division. And so I'm kind of here to talk about what land management involvement is in the foreclosure process. So once Candy's foreclosed, she's gone to court, she's got a clerk's deed. The clerk's deed is what transfers title from the former owner to the borough. So then the borough's the owner. So then at this point, land management takes control of it, and we're the ones that hold the tax sales. So one of the first things we do is determine if it should be retained for a public purpose. So some of those things that we look at is, does it have a high water table? Is the property an unusable remnant? Or is there a public facility that could be put on it? Or a public purpose? Some of the public purposes might be right away. I think the Caswell Lake Fire Station's on a tax foreclosed property. So sometimes we need it for a facility. So once that's determined and we pull those out, that has to be approved by an ordinance. So that would come before the assembly to approve those to be retained for a public purpose. Then with the properties that are left over, there's kind of two categories. So there's the 10-year plus. So that's properties that were taken by clerk's deed and it's been over 10 years. Repurchase rights have been extinguished. And then there's those properties that are less than 10 years from the clerk's deed. So I'll talk about those properties that are less than 10 years. Those are the ones we offer at the tax sales. Currently, we wait 2 years. So once we get the clerk's deed, people still have 2 more years to pay taxes. They have repurchase rights for up to 10 years from the clerk's deed or before the borough sells the property. And so in order to repurchase it, they have to pay the back taxes, penalties, interest, and fees in full, certified funds. And then the borough issues a repurchase quick claim deed, transferring title from the borough back to the former owner. So then there'll be some that don't get repurchased. So then we offer those in a tax sale. So that comes before the assembly to approve the list. First thing we do is send out courtesy letters. We usually send these out 5 to 6 months, letting them know, hey, we're getting ready to have a tax sale. You have repurchase rights. You know, call me. I can give you that amount. You repurchase your property. When I send out these letters, I do a research for addresses, because a lot of times the addresses we have, we send mail out and we get them back. So I search the recorder's office, see if there's anything that they recorded recently that would have a good address. I searched the PFD website. That's a good place to get current addresses. So then once I do this, then the public hearing's set. Then I send out certified letters again, letting them know this is when the public hearing is, so they have the opportunity to come to the public hearing and speak to you. So that's a total, with Candy's notices and my notices, of 6 notices that are sent to them. 4 are courtesy letters, 2 are certified, and then there's 3 newspaper publications. Then I also post the properties. Sometimes there's people rent these properties out, and so the person living there may not be aware of the foreclosure. So we post the properties prior to the tax sale to make sure that everybody knows, you know, this is happening. Sometimes it's the former owner. If we don't have a good address for them for mailing to, then we post to the property notifying them. So that we try to make sure that everybody is aware of what's happening. So by the time we have the tax sale, it's typically been 7 years of unpaid taxes. Through Candy's process, then when I hold on to it for 2 years, then we're ready to offer it for sale. So first we offer it by a competitive sale. This is a sealed bid, competitive sale. It goes to the highest bidder. The bidder has to be a qualified bidder. So we they do a qualification statement. We circulate that in different departments here at the borough. So they have to be current on taxes. They can't have an outstanding ambulance bill. And so sometimes those bidders have those things, and so I call them and say, if you want to purchase this property, you have to be current. It can't owe us money. The minimum bid is the back taxes, penalties, interest, and fees. If the property is not sold by competitive sale, then it goes to the outcry sale. That's kind of like a auction, live bid auction that we have. And then if it's not sold at then it goes to the over-the-counter sale. First come, first serve, just the back taxes, penalties, interest, and fees. And then there's those properties that are 10-year plus. So they've had 10 years to repurchase it. The property hasn't sold at one of those sales. The repurchase rights extinguish. And so then the borough just has those properties, and so we offer those for fair market value. Kind of to give you an idea of how many parcels we have and how many get repurchased or how many are sold. Last year's tax sale was tax sale 34. And that was held in October of 2016. When Candy originally sent the letters, there was 1,770 parcels. When she went to court to petition it, there was 1,110. When she went and got the clerk's deed, it was 67 pieces of property. Then I held on to it for 2 years. There were 64 parcels. So when I started the process of selling it, that's how many were left. When I published the brochure, which is what goes out to the public if they want to buy a property, there was 47 parcels on it. Of that 47, 41 parcels sold at the tax sale. 33 were by sealed bid, 8 were by outcry, 3 were repurchased, and only 2 properties did not sell. So the total assessed value that was returned to the tax rolls after that sale, which includes repurchased properties and sold properties, was $1,665,950. We made 166 brochures. That was hard copies. We also put the brochure on our website, which gets hundreds of hits. After we had the sale, there was 35 properties that had excess proceeds. So I sent out letters to all those people. They can make a claim against those excess proceeds, and they have 6 months from the date of the sale.
Excuse me, I hate to jump in. So the people that own the property can go after that balance?
Correct.
Yeah.
And I always put those results on the manager's report, too. How many people have claimed excess proceeds, how much, what the results of the tax sale was. And this upcoming tax sale, I think right now I have 56 properties. And so there will be a public hearing probably scheduled for June, so you'll see that coming forward.
Senator Sykes?
Through the chair, to Ms. Gray, could we rewind just a little bit?
Sure.
I have a little trouble understanding excess proceeds, and I'm not used to hearing about excess proceeds in government much. Can you explain that to me?
Sure. The borough wants their taxes, and so the minimum bid for the sale is the back taxes, penalties, interest, and fees. It's a competitive sale, so we get bids that may be over that amount. That's called the excess proceeds. And by state statute, the former record owner has a right to make a claim against those excess proceeds because the borough's been satisfied, so they can make a claim against that and get paid for the excess proceeds.
Thank you very much.
But the title is still in the borough.
Well, once we sell it, it's sold to a new buyer. Right. So then we transfer title to the new buyer.
Okay, I got you. Those excess proceeds should go to the mayor, by the way.
Any more questions?
Questions? Seeing none, hearing none. Thank you very much. Great reports. Very efficient. Appreciate it. Okay, Mr. Moosey, anything else?
Not on this issue.
Otherwise, we're going to go to, my understanding, item A, executive session. To union negotiation preparation. Assemblymember Beck, would you please move the executive session for us?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to enter into executive session for matters which the immediate public knowledge of, which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the borough, and matters which by law, municipal charter, or ordinance are required to be kept confidential, and to discuss matters involving consideration of borough records that by law are not subject to the public disclosure. And discussion of matters subject to the attorney-client privilege, in particular to discuss union negotiation preparation. Those present in executive session will be the mayor, members of the assembly, the manager, the attorney, the clerk, Mr. George Hayes, Miss Allie Little, and Miss Sonia Conant. And Cheyenne
Heindel,
Chief Financial Officer.
Okay. Is there any objection to going into executive session? Seeing and hearing none, we will enter executive session at 4:30 p.m. So we're off record.